You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to see you all here this evening. It's been a little while since I've been able to actually speak to you in person, so I'm really excited to be able to share with you tonight from God's Word. And as Daryl mentioned earlier in the service today, we're continuing on with the Vision Reboot series that we started last week, looking at these three key areas that really make up who we are as a church, looking at the areas of gospel and community and mission. And last week, Daryl started us off in this series, looking at the gospel, reminding us of what the gospel was. And really, I think this was such an appropriate spot to start, both for this series and for our year together as a church, because the gospel really, it is foundational to everything that we are as Christians and as the church. It's at the very core of our identity. And everything else needs to be built on the gospel. Everything that we're going to be talking about in this series and beyond all needs to be built off of that foundation that is the gospel. And so today I'm going to be talking to us about the second major area that we sort of want to refocus on in the year of 2021, and that is community. Now, on the one hand, community, it almost feels like sort of an ironic thing to be talking about right now in the midst of COVID, this time where we're all stuck inside our homes, we're told really not to go out or to see anyone or to have anyone into our homes, and it feels like community, or at least community the way that we're used to thinking about it, is a thing of the past. It just seems so difficult right now to have that kind of a community during this pandemic. But at the same time, I think that's exactly what makes it so important for us to be talking about community during this time. It's a time where, to one degree or another, we're all struggling with isolation. And so it's so important to be reminding ourselves of the importance of community and what our Christian community is meant to look like. Even if that community has to look a little different from what we're used to it being. And so with that goal of sort of refocusing ourselves on the idea of community going into the year of 2021, I want to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Primarily, I'm just going to be focusing on verses 9 to 13. But this is a passage in which Paul is very clearly laying out for us what a Christian community is meant to look like. And what I'm hoping we're going to see as we work through this passage together tonight is that the gospel really is foundational to everything that we are as a Christian community and our very understanding of what a Christian community is. But before I start, I just want to take a moment to look at the context of this passage and what is happening sort of leading up to what Paul is saying in this passage. Leading up to this in the book of Romans, Paul is addressing the church about an issue, particularly the issue of how the Gentiles, that is anyone who's not Jewish, is able to have salvation in the gospel. See, historically, the Jews believed that because they were God's special chosen people, that a relationship with God and salvation that was reserved only for them. But what Paul is making clear through the book of Romans is that while, yes, the Jews are God's special chosen people, through Jesus Christ, salvation is made available to all. And he then encourages the church to be unified in Christ, to be united in Christ, using an image or an illustration that we've seen used a couple times throughout Scripture. And that is the image of the church being a body with many different parts. And while each part of this body has a different function or a different purpose, all of them work together to make this body, this community, function. All of these parts are necessary. And so that leads us directly into verse 9, where Paul is describing what this church, what this Christian community is meant to look like. And through looking at this passage again, we're going to see that the gospel is really the foundation for our understanding of what this Christian community is supposed to look like. And so I want to begin with just rereading for you verses 9 to 13. And this is where we're going to spend the majority of our time this evening. This is what Paul says. It says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And so as we get right into this passage, we see that Paul is wanting to put a special emphasis on that idea of love. He begins with those words, let love be genuine. That's his very starting point as he's beginning to describe what a Christian community is supposed to look like. He focuses on that, let love be genuine. And as the passage continues, he's going to give some examples of what this love is supposed to look like practically within the context of the church, as well as the world around us. And so as we look at these five verses and what Paul is saying to the church, really what we're going to see is that Paul is telling us that the gospel calls for us as Christians to love the church. And Paul focuses on three main areas here, which are meant to show us what it looks like when we as Christians love the church, what our community will look like when we as Christians really love the church and are committed to that together. And we're going to see how the gospel is foundational to our understanding of that community. So the first thing that Paul focuses on here is he's showing us what it means for us to love the church, is that loving the church means loving one another. In verse 9, again, he says these words, let love be genuine. And so he's encouraging the Christians within the church to show love to one another. And this is a very sincere and a deep love that he's referring to here. This isn't putting on an act or pretending to show love so that people will look at us and say we're Christian enough. But this is a very deep and sincere care that we have for one another. And he continues that idea in verse 10 when he says these words, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. And so we're called to love each other within this community very genuinely and with brotherly affection. We're meant to treat one another like we're family. That's the nature of what this community is meant to be, that we as Christians are supposed to treat each other like we're family, because through Christ, we are part of one family. We've become children of God, and we're to love one another in Christ in the same way that we would love our own family. And he also says in that verse to outdo one another in showing honor. And when he's saying that, he's not trying to turn this love into some kind of a competition that I have to be more loving than you are, or that we're supposed to hand out some most loving award at the end of each month at the church. But what he's telling the Christians is that when it comes to loving one another, we're called to give it all that we've got. When I think about this verse, I like to think about it this way. If you were entering in a race and you were standing at the starting line and just looking at your opponents, the people who are racing against you, and you can tell just by looking at these people that they've been training for months. You can see them doing their stretches, and you know that you've got some stiff competition against you in this race. And you know if you want to win this race, you have to give it everything you've got. You've got to run as fast as you can and give it 110%. And again, Paul here is not encouraging us to turn love into a competition, but that is the kind of effort that he is calling us to put into loving one another, that we're giving this everything we've got, 110%, to loving one another. As we're talking about this kind of love that we as Christians are meant to show one another in this community, it's important to talk about how it is that the gospel motivates us to show this love to one another. In John 3:16, we read that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That is the type of love that God has shown to us. He loved us enough to send his son to die for us. Later in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, we read this, beloved, if God so loved us, if God loved us enough to send his son, we also ought to love one another. So that makes very clear that our motivation for showing such love to one another is because such a great love has already been shown to each and every one of us. Our love for each other within the church is meant to be a reflection of the gospel, a reflection of the love that God has shown us. If you and I have been shown such great love by God, how could we not show love to others? And more than that, as we look at each other person within the church and we think God loved that person enough to send his son to die for them, should that not motivate us to do our best in showing love to others? And so we're called to love one another, and we see that the gospel is the foundation of that love. The gospel is what motivates us as Christians to love one another, because we have already been loved so greatly and so deeply by God. And so what does that love look like? Well, Paul gives us a couple practical examples in verse 13, where he says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." And he gives another example later in verse 15, where he says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." So he gives them examples of what it looks like to show that kind of love to one another, contributing to each other's needs, showing hospitality to one another, and entering into each other's lives at both the highest and the lowest points, rejoicing and weeping with one another. And so what might this look like for us as Liberty Grace? How can we be a community that's committed to showing this kind of gospel love to one another? And I want to encourage us to try to commit to be that kind of community that will show that genuine brotherly love to one another, because we understand the depth of the love that has already been shown to us. And this is a love that's meant to extend beyond just catching up on a Sunday or getting together on a Tuesday evening. This is something that is meant to run through our entire life. And so that could look like just in connecting with people throughout the church during the week to encourage them, thinking of those who are lonely and just sending a text and saying, "Hey, how are you doing this week?" Or if you know that someone is feeling incredibly lonely or isolated during this pandemic, contacting them and saying, "Hey, would you like to have a Zoom call sometime and catch up?" And just seeking to care for each other in that way. Or contributing to one another's needs, maybe offering to someone to go pick up a load of groceries and just leave it at their door. You know, typically we would think of this type of community in a church looking like having people over for dinner or offering to go out for coffee. And while the pandemic has made some of those things a little more challenging, there are still some very practical ways that we can be showing this kind of love to one another. Just taking the time to invest in each other's lives and seeking to care for each other. And not doing this out of a sense of obligation or so that we're receiving praise, but a genuine outpouring of the gospel and the love that we have been shown, that we're now showing to others within the church. And so Paul is showing us that loving the church means loving one another. And the second thing that he points out in this passage is that loving the church means serving the Lord. If you look what he says in verse 11, it says, "Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord." And so here Paul is laying out what is the mission and the purpose of the church, and that is to serve the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, Paul also says this, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." In that verse, Paul is telling the church, no matter what they're doing, and even the simplest of things like eating or drinking, all of it should be done as an act of service to God, to bring him glory. Life's not meant to be compartmentalized so that we're living for God and we're seeking to serve him on a Sunday afternoon, but the rest of the week we're just living for ourselves and doing things however we want. This is something that's supposed to define our entire lives. You see, in order for us to be a church that is committed to serving the Lord together, we each have to first commit to being Christians who are going to serve the Lord. And look at the wording that Paul uses in verse 11. He tells the church not to be slothful in zeal and to be fervent in spirit as they serve the Lord. This is something that's meant to be done with enthusiasm. We're not called to serve the Lord just out of some sense of obligation. This isn't something that we're doing begrudgingly, like we've just been asked to do our least favorite job in the world. When I was growing up, one of the things that I always dreaded was each week my parents would get me to wander around our house and collect up all the garbage and take it out and put it out on the curb. It was admittedly a really small and easy job to do, but I absolutely hated it. And so every Sunday afternoon, I'd sort of hide away in my room and really hope that maybe this will be the week that they'll forget and I'll be able to get out of doing it. Never actually happened that way. Without fail, I would hear them call me down out of my room to go wander around, collect up all the garbage, and I'd sort of huff about the house and get it done. But that is not the attitude that we're being called to have as we are serving the Lord. We're called to be excited about the work that we have to do for the Lord and the mission that he's given us. We're meant to be a church who is on fire for the gospel and excited to share it in every way that we can. And this excitement about the gospel, this comes from really an understanding of what has been done for us, what God has done for us through the gospel. When you grasp the magnitude of what Christ has done for us on the cross, it ignites that kind of passion and that excitement that it should just overflow from us. You see, each and every one of us, we were destined for hell and for separation from God. And to be honest, we deserved it because of our sin. But Christ loved us enough to offer himself as a sacrifice in our place, so that instead we could have a relationship with him. That is such exciting news, and that is something that should completely change our lives. Earlier in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." See, this is a type of life that only comes through a complete transformation that we can only experience through the gospel. It's only through accepting that free gift of salvation that Christ offers that we can be transformed in this way and live according to God's will and spend our lives to serve him. And it is a complete change from the way that we lived before. As Paul says, we're no longer to be conformed to this world, but we're called to be transformed. And he returns to that idea in verse 9 when he says, "Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good." We're called to seek earnestly and enthusiastically after the things of God and to follow his will. And so again, what does that look like for us as Liberty Grace, as a church? If we want to be a church community that is committed to serving the Lord with that kind of excitement and enthusiasm, we have to first commit to ourselves to being Christians who serve the Lord. And so whatever you're doing as a part of this church, whether that's helping out with the service and doing a scripture reading or prayer or leading worship, whether that's being a part of Grace Group on Tuesdays or the women's group on Thursdays, or even helping with our outreach phone initiative that we've been doing during this pandemic, no matter what we're doing as a part of this church, let's do it with excitement, with enthusiasm and passion, being excited to serve the Lord and to help share the gospel, because we understand the magnitude of what's been done for us. And there is a certain level of camaraderie that comes from this, as we're all committed to serving the Lord together, all of us working towards this common goal, each of us in different ways with different roles, but all working towards that one common goal of sharing the gospel. It's part of what helps us to be bound together, is that kind of family in Christ, as Paul pointed out earlier in the passage. The more we're committed to working towards that common goal, serving the Lord together, the more our love for one another and our love for the church will grow as well. Now, before I move on, I also want to take a quick moment here just to look at what Paul begins to say later in the passage from verse 14 to 21. There are three main areas we've been focusing on this series: gospel, community, and mission. And next week, Daryl is going to talk to us a lot more about mission and what the mission of the church is. But I want to take a quick moment to look at, as this passage continues, Paul's focus begins to shift a little bit from just talking to the church about how Christians are meant to interact with one another and beginning to talk with how Christians in the church are called to interact with the world around them. You see, part of serving the Lord is understanding that God has placed us within this world with a mission. We're not called to be some isolated little community hiding away from the rest of the world. Now, back in the time of the Bible, there was this group of people that were called the Essenes, and their goal was to follow God's law perfectly to the letter. And they wanted to keep themselves completely separated from anything impure, from anything that would sort of corrupt them. And so what they did is they completely retreated from society. They built their own little community away from everyone else, away from any influence of the outside world, so that they could have this pure little community and try to follow every single one of God's laws perfectly with no outside corruption affecting them. But that's not the life that Paul was calling the church to. He takes for granted in this passage that the church is a part of the world around them. We're not meant to be this tight-knit, loving community that's serving the Lord, but isolating ourselves from the world around us. Part of what serving the Lord means is being involved in the community around us. You know, every time I'm in Liberty Village, I'm struck by the sheer number of people that live in such a small community. More than that, the number of people that are within Liberty Village that need to hear the gospel. As part of our mission of serving the Lord as a church means doing everything that we can to share the gospel with those around us, to share the gospel with Liberty Village. And Paul makes pretty clear that doing this doesn't always make us very popular with the people around us. You can see it as Paul is instructing the church in later verses. He says a number of times things like, bless those who are persecuting you, love those who hate you. The world is not always going to want to hear the message of the gospel. It's a very countercultural message that we need a savior, that we can't save ourselves. And the world is not always going to want to hear that message. But that doesn't mean that we're any less responsible to love our community around us by spreading the gospel and showing the love of Christ to those around us. And so Paul makes clear that the gospel calls us as Christians to love the church by loving one another and by serving the Lord. And third, he makes clear that loving the church also means focusing on Christ. Look at what he says in verse 12. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So Paul has these three instructions that he gives to the church for what is to define sort of the life of the church. And first, he tells them to rejoice in hope. The hope that he's talking about there is the hope that the church has in Jesus Christ and in the gospel. And I want to encourage you with this. We do have a reason to rejoice in the hope that we have in the gospel. The knowledge of what's been done for us, the love that's been shown for us in Christ, it's such an amazing truth that should fill our church with such a constant overflowing joy. Knowledge that the creator of the universe, he loved us enough to sacrifice his son on our behalf so that we could have a relationship with him. It's an amazing truth, and it should truly cause celebration in our church. It should cause us to rejoice in the hope that we have in Christ. And Paul also says that second instruction, which is very relevant for our church right now, he tells the church to be patient in tribulation. Tells the church to be patient as they're facing difficulties and struggles. And this was very applicable for the church as Paul was writing to them, as they were facing persecution and constant threats, and many of them were having to lay down their lives for their faith in Christ. But this is something that can also be applied to us today as we're facing struggles as a church, struggles that are brought on by this pandemic. And this goes back to what he said before about rejoicing in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. This hope that we have in the gospel is a hope that is greater than anything in this world. Anything in this world could ever be. Jesus showed through his death and his resurrection that he has complete authority over sin and complete authority over death. And he provides a hope for us that is beyond this world. And that is a hope of eternal life with him. And so no matter what we're facing, no matter what struggles are coming our way, whether that looks like struggling with isolation during this pandemic or struggling with opposition from the world around us, we're instructed to have hope because we know that these struggles will not last. And we're looking ahead to the eternal life that we will enjoy in Jesus Christ when he returns to put right everything that sin has broken in this world. And so we're encouraged to be patient in the midst of hard times, be patient in the midst of struggles, keeping our eyes fixed on Christ and knowing that our hope is in him and not this world. And then that third instruction that Paul gives to the church is to be constant in prayer. We're to understand where our help and where our strength comes from and who it is that's the source of this great community that we've been gifted with. The fact that we are able to have this gift of a Christian community is a gift of Christ. And to be constantly in prayer for the church is to be constantly reminding ourselves of where our true strength comes from. Reminding ourselves of the hope that we have, and reminding ourselves to rejoice in that hope. Reminding ourselves of the reason that we're able to be patient through the midst of tough times, not through our own strength or ability, but through the strength of Christ. To be constant in prayer is what helps us to keep our focus firmly fixed on Christ, where it needs to be, and to help us in both loving each other and serving the Lord. In order for us to have a healthy community within our church, we need to be committed to this kind of prayer together, to keeping our focus on Christ. And committing to this type of prayer, it also helps to grow our sense of community together. I really look forward to our monthly prayer meetings. Every first Tuesday of the month, we gather together to spend time praying over our church and praying over our world and praying over things that are going on in each of our lives. This is a time where we're very practically able to show that kind of genuine love to one another, joining in to each other's lives and celebrating things that are going really well and struggling with others as they're facing difficult times and spending time praying for one another. And I want to encourage you as a community, as a church, if you find yourself in the middle of the week thinking of someone else in the church, just shoot them a text and say, hey, I was thinking of you today. How can I be praying for you? And then commit to actually be praying for that person. It's a very practical and important way for us to be showing that true and genuine love to one another, is to be praying for one another. And it helps us to keep our focus where it needs to be, reminding us that our strength comes from Christ and not from ourselves. And so in this passage, Paul shows us how the gospel informs our view of what a Christian community is meant to be. The gospel calls us to love the church by loving one another, by serving the Lord, and by focusing on Christ together. I also hope you can see how each of these three things that we're talking about in this series, both gospel and community and mission, are so deeply interconnected, that the gospel provides the foundation for who we are as Christians and who we are as a community. And the gospel also calls for us as a community and as a church to engage with the world around us. And it is such a blessing to be able to be a part of a community like that. It's not always easy, though, to be a part of that kind of community. It takes a lot of commitment to build a strong church community that is committed to serving the Lord, like Paul has laid out in this passage. It takes a lot of commitment, but it is so incredibly worth it. Being a part of a church, being a part of this community, it's not just a Sunday afternoon commitment. It's a commitment to loving the church by showing that genuine brotherly love to one another. It's committing to serve the Lord in our own lives and serve the Lord as a church with enthusiasm and excitement together. And it's committing to having our focus, the focus of everything that we do, be firmly fixed on Christ. And so that's my challenge for us as a church, as we're beginning this year of 2021, let's commit together to make Liberty Grace a church that seeks to excel in each of these three areas. That seeks to excel in our love for one another, in our commitment to serve God as a church, and in our focus on Christ in everything that we do. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this community that you've given us. Lord, I thank you so much for Liberty Grace Church. God, I thank you for Daryl and Charlene and their faithful commitment to be working in Liberty Village for so many years. And Lord, I pray for our church that as we're coming into this new year of 2021, Lord, that we would be a church that is committed to serving you. Lord, that we would be a church that is committed to showing the love of the gospel to each other. Lord, that we are committed to engaging in the world around us. And that we're committed to keeping you at the center of everything that we do, Lord. Rejoicing in hope, being patient in tribulation, and being constant in prayer as a church. And Lord, as we serve you this year, and as we seek to build this community together, Lord, I pray that you would be with us. I pray that you would bless our church and bless our community, Lord. I pray that you would give us opportunities to engage with those around us and that we would see our church grow. Lord, I pray that everything that we do as a part of our church would be done for your glory. We pray these things in your name. Amen.